Amen. Somebody gave me a picture up the road of Robert E. Lee, and when they signed the peace or whatever it was, surrender, I brought home with me, got it packed up, gonna hang it on my wall when I get there. I've got a wonderful present for Christmas. We've been having a lot of trouble at our church, serious trouble. My church bought me a 10-gauge shotgun. I really appreciate it. Get as old as I am, I used to carry a pocket knife, now I carry a sword. All right. But in your Bible, you'll get that after a while. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Seems to be, in our group, the people that we all run with here, seem like this little verse of Scripture needs to be read to us. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. The Bible said, "And David went on, and he grew great, and the Lord of God of hosts was with him." David had a lot of victories in his life. God had rendered some great victories in his life. I mean, he'd killed a bear with his bare hands. He'd killed a lion. And the giant wasn't nothing to him. God had blessed this man and used him. And many times when we have great victories in our life, that is also comes along great pitfalls. You got to be careful when everything's wonderful. You better have it about half bad and sleep on cockleburrs. It'd be a lot better for you. You said everything's just so smooth. It'll get rough right on down the road. Just hang on. But the Bible said even when these great victories and these great pitfalls came, David went on. David went on. This man had been trained. This man had been tried by God Almighty. This man had been anointed by God. And this man was victorious. And he just went on even when things got bad. I'm sick of hearing people cry. Grown men. I don't understand it. You can say what you want to. You say, "Brother, would you ever want to cry?" No, I don't never want to cry. I get mad sometimes, want to fight, but I don't want to cry. I ain't never been no cry, baby. Amen? A fella kept singing this week with me, and he kept crying. I wondered what he was crying about. I know whether his dog got run over, what happened. I'm just critical. I guess I am critical of people that's always crying. When I see a grown man who's always crying, now you can cry before the Lord. Amen? You can get up in the pulpit with your heart broken and cry. When you keep crying to me, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. Amen? You might as well say hallelujah now. I said, David went on, and your wife is sick and tired of you crying. Amen? And your mother-in-law is sick and tired of you crying. Amen? And the boss is sick and tired of you crying. Amen? The Bible said David went on. I mean, wasn't no quitting this man. I had an old three-legged dog one time, and I looked up, and he was about a mile and a half behind us. We was penning a bunch of cattle in a pen. And that old cow dog, old Texas cow dog, he's a mile back there, and they got him all penned. And here he come, and fellow with me said, "We're going to have to kill that dog." I said, I can't kill a dog. It just won't quit. He said, "Well, he wasn't even here when he put him in the pen." I said, "I don't care where he was at. He was behind them cows, and he's running them, and I'm going to keep him and feed him till he dies. I ain't going to shoot him." I've met some preachers I wanted to shoot, just quitters, quitters. God help quitters. They quit everything they start. They're just quitters. Not only do they quit, sometimes they just slow down. And sometimes they just get out. Amen. If I was going to bellyache all the time, I'd just get out. Amen. Go on and do whatever I was going to do. But there's great danger when you're living in defeat. The devil can come to you in every sense of life. I don't care how big the church you pastor. I don't care where you're at or who you are. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. After 39 years of preaching, I know when you're defeated all the time, the devil can come in and deceive you quicker than any other time. I don't care. I don't care though David's failures were many, he's a failure as a husband. He's about the sorriest husband I ever heard of except Jack Woods. I had 8 children. I got about 23 or 4 grand. I don't even know how many grandchildren. I even got some great grandchildren. They're mine. They belong to me. Their name's Wood. Amen? And you say, well, did you bring any with you? Lord God, no. I left them home, man. I see people always got signs on the back of their car. I'm enjoying my children's inheritance. I say, praise God for them. Amen. God done spent all of my... When my daddy died here about 6 months ago, he looked up and said, hey, boy, pay the bills. I said, thank you, Papa. Amen. That's right. Yeah. He just turned over and pulled up the cover. The doctor walked in the room and said, what are you doing? He said, dying. The old Baptist preacher said, I'm dying. The doctor said, that's a morbid outlook. He said, not where I'm going. Not where I'm going. He said, I'm going to give you 2 pints of blood to freshen you up. He said, I don't want to be fresh enough. I want to leave out. The last thing I ever heard him do was sit and tell a girl about 17 years old how to be born again. That's the last thing I ever heard him do. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, they call me Chip down home. You think they say I preach hard. You ought to hurt him. Lord, have mercy. I went to a funeral with him one time. He couldn't even read his name. He stand up at this funeral and he said, and he read a verse of scripture in the book of the Revelation. It said, this is a testimony of Jesus Christ. And so he gave this man who died, he had won to the Lord, he gave his testimony. Then he gave his own testimony. And then he gave the Lord's testimony, and all the people, I knew them all, he gave their testimony. And it didn't kind of fit in with these other 3 testimonies, to say the least. 3 or 4 preachers sitting there said, now we know where you got it all. Amen. All right. All right. But David, the Bible said, and David went on. In Hebrews, in chapter 6, the Bible said, let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on. And sometime I've always said I was going to try to write a little book about something. I've got some bull stories about some bulls that I'd roped and what have you. And I've got all made up. Most of them roped me. Most of them nearly killed me. But anyway, I got the book. It was in a foreign country. And so I got this little book, and I got to thinking about what I was going to put in there. Then I got to, but I said, I'm going to make 2 books out of it. I'm going to put one with a big bolt and a big nut, and I'm going to preach on, I'm going to write on these nuts that I have met. I'm coming fast as I can. I'm tired. You look in David's life, he was a sorry husband. He was a sorry dad. And even he wasn't even a testimony as a leader. He's just winning all kinds of victories, and God has delivered him out of Saul's hand, and he goes to Moab. Is that correct? He's down in Moab, laying down there, spitting around and lying and carrying on, out of the will of God. And all of a sudden, he wakes up and everything is in ashes. The Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And where did he go? He's straight back to Judah. All right. You can get that tonight. His failure was many. He is a failure even as a believer, time or two. He was a failure sometimes in his warfare against Saul. But God delivered him out of everything. And I don't care how much failure you got. I'm just trying to tell you there's a force in the grace of God that can sustain you. Though his family did not understand him, he got up and shouted and run around out in the street, and his wife said, look at him. Look at her. She never had no children. For a number, she was a barren woman. Job's wife got to criticizing him, and God kept her pregnant 15 years. Better watch out, lady. I mean, that's what happened to her. She's had young enough. I got to looking at it. It must have been 15, 18 years. I mean, she just stayed with child. Now, bless God, that's a curse. Amen. Though his family did not understand him, and his wife even criticized him for praising God and dancing in the street, this man went on with God, and God used him. I've took his life. I've took it to pieces. I've thought on it. I've read it. I've studied it. And all I can see this man do, laying in the floor, deep in sin, all of a sudden, he's standing up, getting right with God, and going on with God. Ain't enough just to say, God, forgive me. Let's God get up. Get up. I asked my dad. My dad always thought Dempsey was the greatest fighter it ever was. And I said, Daddy, who was probably one of the most dangerous men? He said, well, Lewis was. He said, because you could knock him down and have him down, and then you'd be going to count him out, and all of a sudden he's up, and you're down. He said he could recuperate mighty quick. Amen? Then why can't we as God's people just recuperate? Why can't we just forget those things which are behind and go on with God? Hallelujah. Some people, my mother used to tell my dad all the time, please, Jack, let the dead rest. Some guy done something 20 years before, and Papa, boy, he's like an elephant. He didn't forget nothing. One day a guy coming to church, he said, you see that guy, you better watch him. He said, one time I sold him 2 bushels of peaches on credit. I said, he ain't never paid me. I said, that's been 25 years ago. He said, he ain't never paid it. Better watch him. Yeah. Are you listening to me? The family did not understand. Absalom committed treason against his daddy. And nowadays, the wife and the children are the primary excuse for not going on with God. That's the excuse. One of his sons molested his sister. Is that an excuse? You say, I'm going to get out of the ministry. Oh, quit that. Quit. My. What did God call you to do? I know He didn't call you to be a prize fighter because you can't take it. I've said this over and over again in my mind. If you can't preach half-hurt, get out of the ministry. Because God's going to make sure you get some of it. And if you don't get enough, He'll turn the brethren loose on you and God help you. Yes, sir. He turns them bunch of suckers loose on you. They'll eat you alive, man. Yes, sir. One guy came up to me so sanctimonious one time, and he said, you know that missionary's wife? I said, yeah. We buried the lady just a few weeks ago. I've known this lady for 30-something years or something right here in this town. And said, yeah. I said, did you hold her while her husband whipped her? I said, do what? He said, well, brother so-and-so told me in a big fellowship meeting and told everybody that you held her. These people was the dearest friends I've ever had in the world. I said, how big is Bobby? And he said, he weighs 240 pounds. I said, how big is his wife? He said, she weighs 90. I said, do you believe that Bobby would need any help if he wanted to whip her? He couldn't whip her if he'd tried. I mean, he couldn't. I mean, this woman was tough as a boot. Yeah. She died on the mission field the other day, just singing. 35 years on it, just died, laid down. Well, me and this lady were just been friends forever and ever, and the families have been friends forever. And here come this Baptist preacher. They'll believe anything. They'll believe anything but the Bible. They'll believe anything. You can just tell them anything, they'll believe it. You can tell them a Greek said it, they'll believe that. Yeah. They don't care if a Greek or Hebrew, Chinese, I mean, you know, they don't care who said it. They'll believe it. If you tell them that somebody God's man, they didn't believe nothing he did. Now, all of his friends left him. But the Bible said he went on. I got to looking over some of them friends, that high priest, Asaphel. He'd been there with him a long time, but the minute he got his chance, you know, he had a granddaughter that David had laid with Bathsheba. And he took off. And he's gone now. He's gone now. And he goes over and joins up with a son. What did David do? He went on. He didn't have him a crying session. He didn't sit down and suck his thumb like a poison dog. And I am very familiar that you and I have got the grace of God like they didn't have. We got something they didn't have in this New Testament. We got a whole Bible. We got the Holy Ghost working, I mean, in our lives. I mean, we got everything. We got everything. Or, that's what we say. Amen. That's what we tell everybody. We got more than they did. But we can't live like they did. They went on under all kinds of opposition and circumstances. They just went on with God. Yeah. Just went on. Are you listening tonight? So friends, Paul said, all men have forsaken me. Only Luke is with me. I quit. Oh, no. When I saw Dr. Ruckman at Lackey's one time draw that picture, and he said, when you come, bring that cloak also, and be sure and bring those scriptures there with him. And when he cut his head off, I thought about this man. All men have forsook me, but he's still looking for the book, just looking for an old coat to wrap up in a prison cell where he's at. And I mean, writing the Word of God. I don't care what happens in my life, but God help me to die in victory. Amen. I don't want to die some old backslidden, ugly, cantankerous. It's everybody's fault but mine. My soul. It's wondered God didn't. Ain't no telling what God ought to have done to me. I've burned down churches. I've done everything in the world. I burned a church one time. It was big as this. You said, "Why'd you burn it?" Well, R.J. Simpson was preaching, and he's dead and in heaven. I guess he's laughing about it now. But we had a packed house night, and oh man, mornings, Sunday morning. Boy, it just packed out. And I had a little 55-gallon drum been cut off, and them boys been putting some tar up on the roof. It's leaking. And so he told me, he said, "Now just put a little cup of gas, just a little bit, maybe a spoonful, in a can and light it. I'm going to preach on hell." And he said, "I'll give you the sign." I said, "Okay." Well, you know, I thought if a spoonful would help, you know, I had a lawnmower can. I poured him a gallon in that thing. I didn't know that the tar was that deep in there. I didn't know that. And so I was sitting, that big dummy me, you know, about 27, 8 years old. That building just packed out with people, sinners everywhere, you know. Old R.J., he just was preaching up a storm. And he said, "In hell!" And then he said a second time. That was the sign. Throw the match in. Man, I throw that match in that thing. That thing just got to walking around in there like that. That sucker looked like Hiroshima. I mean, it just bailed and I looked like donuts coming out of that old roof. Was 30 feet tall. I was picking black boogers out of my nose 3 weeks late. Okay, it's awful. Awful. And I'm down there looking for him. I can't find him. I can't even see the front of the church. I'm telling you the honest truth. I mean, that church, you go to that building today, that building is smoked. And you can smell it the minute you walk in there. Pastor there for years. I wonder how them poor 19 people got saved that morning. I've never figured it out. It even scared the devil out of 6 men. I mean, they just slid in like coming to home base. Just sliding in. God just bless your ignorance. Amen. I asked my people to pray one time. They wouldn't pray. Some kids in the school been misbehaving. We had about 140 children back in the 50s and had an old school right downtown. And I took a firecracker that big away from one of them kids. It's that big. I mean, it looked like a dollar cigar. That long. I put a thing in my pocket and a couple of matches. And I took them away from her. I told her, "Don't you be handling anything like that. It's dangerous." So I went into church and I preached and they just sat there. I said, "Well, let's go home. Bow your head and pray." I just done my hand like I was disgusted. There that firecracker was. While he was praying, I lit it. I know, you know, people told me everybody was crazy. Well, I guess that's right. But if you take a poor sucker and put him in a jail and a prison and fill his mind with dope and everything else, I mean, how much sense he's supposed to have? You ought to put him in a cage for the first 10 years. Amen? Amen. But his friends left him and he stayed with God. Please let me say this today. Though opposition grew stronger and stronger, he stayed with God. And he went on with God. I mean, when the bear come to steal the sheep, when the lion come to steal the sheep, when the giant come into the land, he stayed with God. And God took him to greater heights than he'd ever dreamed about. And here we are, got a Bible that he had written a lot of it. Though Satan gets in power, maybe in your desires, there's somebody that can dethrone him. Are you listening? Though the king began to hunt him, he went on. You said, "You know what the politicians are doing? Who cares? I don't even know who's running. I voted one time and repented. I'm 63 years old. I voted one time and repented. There was a queer running and I didn't want him to get in. And I voted against him, and another guy was a queer too. So I said, my man, you just can't win. Amen. Will you listen to me tonight? I pray God would speak to you through this verse of Scripture. Look at it with me, please. The text is, and David went on. Now let me just get this down to where you live tonight. When all the big boys everywhere and the little boys and everybody are going down, why don't you just stay with God? Every time you hear one go down, I've got 40 rumors. And I'm not interested in that. And I don't even mention it. I don't mention it to my family. Somebody said, didn't it destroy your faith when Jimmy Swaggart went down? I said, he's been down ever since I've knew him. And it didn't bother me a bit in the world. But I've known some men who have fell into sin or dived into sin, might be the word for it. Now, somebody wrote me a letter the other day and asked me if I would help rehabilitate one of these scoundrels. Now, let me tell you something. I've been in that ghetto a long time, and I've helped a lot of men. But a man that walks up in this pulpit and lies and deceives for 6 and 8 years, Dr. Ruggman, and lies to people and misleads that church, are you listening to me? And he's out there laying in sin. I wouldn't send a quarter to get him a drink of water. Are you listening to me? I said it last night. I'll say it again. I wouldn't give him a drink of water. And his wife said, I've been knowing about it about 8 or 9 years, but I just couldn't tell. He said he'd kill me. He wasn't married to the kind of woman I am, or she'd get that 10 gauge. You wouldn't have to take care of me and rehabilitate me. Yeah. I had a mama had a 3-legged milking stool. Papa better walk right. Be none of that caring on. I don't understand no little sissified girl said, but my husband, you know, he's run around another woman. I hit the sucker in the head. He stood right in front of the church, in front of God and everybody else, and told you he'd be clean, and he'd took you and you only. I mean, wrap him upside of his head. You say, I don't believe that's scriptural. It might not be scriptural, but it'd be a blessing to you. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I look in his Bible some things David did. I mean, I don't read where God's commanding him to do it. But, you know, God said kill the giant. He killed him. Then he jumped up on top of him, cut his head off, threw it over his shoulders. The first he had rolled into Jerusalem. The Bible said he stood on top of him. What are you doing up on a dead man, jumping up and down on him? He wanted to show him who was boss. When big people are going down all around, quit talking about it. And you stay with God. And you go on. You go on in your Bible study. You go on your preaching on your street corner. When wickedness abounds, you listen to me. You rise like a green bay tree and stand, boy. You ain't got no excuse. You said, preacher, did you know doctor? I don't care what Dr. So-and-so did. God called you, boy. God called you. Put His hand on you. He called you to be a missionary. Why, we hear things now that you couldn't even mention in this pulpit. Behind closed doors, men who said, my God. I've had an experience in the last month or two that you couldn't even tell one part of it. But you wouldn't find nobody in West Texas that ever even knew what that was. They thought that's what dogs did. And here's a man who had gave his life as a missionary, said. And here's a man who was a pastor of the church. And they're wallowing in this sin. Are you listening to me tonight? You better get up and go on. You better get up and go on. When wickedness about, when nothing seems to go right for you, you better go on. That ain't got a thing in the world to the first 10 years of my Christian life, everything went the other way. I would go at least sometimes 5 or 6 months and never see a preacher. Once, occasionally I would get up and go to a fellowship meeting. I got over that. And I'd go to that fellowship meeting. And they'd start nudging. So here he comes. Look at him. It's strange what people say to people's back that they won't say to their face. Amen. When nothing seems to go right for you. When all the material things are gone. And you look over at them other people and they look like they're being blessed. There's men today that you thought were being blessed. But that wasn't a blessing to them, was it? All that material things, all it got them was problems. I'm not preaching against that. I'm just telling you, sometimes what you think is a blessing is a curse. Amen. When all the material things are gone, you listen to me? When nothing seems to go right for you, whether it be your church or your critics or whatever, when all men have forsaken you, the Bible said, and David went on, what you going to do with your life? It's wonderful. I love it. I've been shouting for about 35 years. And last night, they had Lee Robinson over there to teach something. He was there teaching. And old Barry was just having a spell. He's jumping up and down. You know how he is, and just screams and hollers. And Lee Robinson said, he just got run pooping. He said, I like that. I'm going to shout whether they like it or don't like it. Hey, all I've got is fellowship with God. That's all I got in the world tonight. And if I lose that, and lose my joy, then what else is there? If I let the joy of God go out of my heart, and my fellowship with God, what else is there in this thing? There's nothing in the Christian race but fellowship with God and the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. You know why you're weak? You got no joy. Hear joy. When all hope is laying in ashes. I've had people to call me up to be ugly and say, could I have dinner with you? And I said, well, certainly. I mean, a pastor in town. One died just a few weeks ago. One Brother Wolf preacher boy. He died and he called me 30 years ago. He said, I want to ask you to do me and God both a favor in your community. And I said, what's that? He said, please get out of the ministry. I'm honest before the Lord. I could call that dear man's name. He said, if you keep going like you're going, all you're going to ever amount to is just be some yard boy for Lester Roloff. I said, that's a pretty good job. Pretty good job. Amen. But he went crazy. And he lost his marriage. And he lost his wife. And he lost his family. And I never went home and laughed at him. I went home and said, thank you, Lord. This is lesson number one. And I watched him counsel me. And I said, now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I went out to the fountain filled with blood. And I was stupid enough to come down an aisle 20 in a rescue mission, an old missionary in Los Angeles, and that man told me the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, would wash me white as snow. And I did that. 39 years ago, I got saved. The next week, in Los Angeles, California, I started preaching. And I've been preaching ever since. And he said, you're not qualified. I mean, this little wimp that his wife had him by the nose and led him around, like I said. This little wimp. And then he had two teenagers. They got old enough to lead him. They led him around. And then when they got too old, they moved off, had no respect for him. The next church he went to, they led him around. And the last time, he looked like a lead dog to me. I'd hate to be that. God just killed me right here. Let a bunch of unspiritual deacons lead me around. And said, what color are we going to put the lights in? Pull my pistol out and shoot them all out and say, thank you. Who cares? Okay. You know, the other day was about four black fellas. They could have been four white trash, but they wasn't. It was four black fellas. They was dressed up, big suits on. They roll up in our parking lot. New Year's night, John. I told John, I said, you better watch this thing. They've been stealing cars off and everything, leaving there. And I told John, I said, and they've been watching TV. You know how TV will influence you. And so they rolled up. They jumped out of the car and they had their pistols like this. And they started walking across the park. John raised up behind one of the trucks and said, boy, put that thing down. If you can go in that church and rob that, put that thing down, boy, before I put you down. He ran over and jumped back in the car, and the one in the back reached up and tapped him on the head. Shoo! They've gone. I said, John, that looked like a TV show. He said, the only thing about it, that pistol was real he had. All four of them got pistols playing. Hey. God ain't got no room for no little old sissies. Ain't no telling what's going to happen, brother, before we get out of here. There ain't no telling what's going to happen. Yeah. I seen a little missionary come home, Tommy Tipcomb, come home from Africa, held out his hands like this, 84 years old, and they wouldn't let him go back. And old Tommy Tipcomb held his hands up like this, and he said, with these two hands, I baptized 20,000 people with these two hands. Nobody would send me to mission field. Nobody would support me. God told me to go. I caught me a plane. I caught me a ship. Worked my way over there. Got off. So when I hit that shore, I reached down and had $1.50 in my pocket. He said, I left there 50 years later. But he said, I remember laying in at night. Those cannibals come in 19-1, 19-2. He said, I could hear that big gun roaring. Me and three or four men barricading there trying to protect our family. I said, Brother Tommy, how many did you kill? He said, I don't want to talk about it. I won't talk about that. He said, but I did what I had to do. I'm a man. I did. He said, Brother Wood, I believe he should. Yeah, I know. That's when you got that door lock on your house. The burglar alarm. The police you can call. Because you believe in safety. Let the police shoot him. He might not get there. David took care of his own. And went on. And all I want to say to you tonight, and David went on. Which way are you going? He went on to victory. And more victory. And closer walk with God. Greater exploits for God. You say, I don't understand some of your thinking. I no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. This has been the greatest year of our life and probably the worst. You said, how's that? I don't know. I've had some problems physically, but the work has been, I mean, God has just saved people. And God has opened doors we have never seen open in our life. One guy called me the other day and said, could you give me 15 men down here in that county jail? Can you give me 15? Because there's only 12,000 men in the county jail in Houston, Texas tonight. They just built, they got 8,000 here, just built a thing for 4,000 more. You going on? You going on? I talked to a little old preacher. He came here one day, Dr. Upman Majors. His wife cooked you something to eat. I said, where do you live? He said, come over here and I'll show you. I went over there and there was a room just about big as from here to that wall right there. And it was square. And he's a dear friend of mine, Mexican brother. And he said, me and the song leader and my wife and his wife lives in there. I said, is that right? He said, we've built 8 churches. I said, how much support you got? He said, about 125 a month. But he said, I tell you, that's not the answer. I said, what's that one mattress for? He said, him and his wife sleeps on one end, we sleep on the other. Thing got me all amazed now. I'm wondering how they're doing so much with so little and we're doing so little with so much. It's bothering me. It got me all shook up. Amen? Hey, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for not serving God. I hear preachers all the time. I go to the church. They say, well, nobody around here wants to get saved. I've never met nobody wanting to get saved. I mean, you got to go tell them. Get slapped 2 or 3 times. Amen? Get cussed out. Door slam your face. How many times I visit you, John? How many years was it? 10 years I visit. And can you imagine this big man climbing out the window running from me? Can you imagine that? He wasn't scared of me. He was scared of that gospel. He was scared of the Word of God. I'd won his mother to the Lord, his daddy to the Lord. I baptized both, all three of his sisters. Now I've baptized his other brother. The whole family has been a member of my church. 10 years preaching funerals. 10 years burying his dead. And God one night, he started to walk out the back door of the church. The Spirit of God spoke to his heart. John, this is the last night. And this old car dealer came and said, I want to get saved. And just a few years later, he said, I'd like to just drive you, preacher. I said, man, I ain't got no money. He said, I don't need no money. I just want to drive you. And for the last 3.5 years, he's drove me all over the world. I've had him to drive me into Russia. I've had him drive me over Romania. Plumb down to the... And somebody, some missionary, I went to one of my boys and I said, look, I want to go to Spain. He said, you can't go to Spain. You can't imagine the road. J. John drove me down there. It looked wonderful to me. He stayed, got the missionary, he stayed up there. He couldn't go down there. You can't drive down there. It's a wonderful road. And we'd already borrowed somebody's big, nice car. That's cheap enough, ain't it? Huh? And so John, he just taxied down. It wasn't about 3,000 miles. You know, like driving to Los Angeles and then some. We was way down on the coast of Spain. We went down there with old Cooper. Graduated right here. Old Cooper ain't got no more sense than just tell him how to be saved. Yeah, he sent me a picture the other day and said, "Preacher, we got 8 drug addicts sleeping out here in this little building." And he said 3 or 4 of these men have got saved. I believe that God's going to raise them up. And I said, "You know what? See, you're cussing drugs, and drugs is being a blessing to the ministry." See, it's a lot of people never would call you and ask you to come and deal with their son if they could handle it. But they've got so much they can't handle, they got to call us. They got to call us. And so whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes. Amen? Old Cooper sent me this boy. He said, "Preacher, this is him. I've got him on the gospel. I've given him 20 chapters a day to read." I got a guy in my church, Cooper, got him saved, won him to the Lord, put him on 40 chapters a day. Cooper said, "You'll never get delivered without 40 chapters a day." And this guy believed him. This guy's been saved about 4 years. And he told me the other day, he said, the 9th or 10th time he had read his Bible through. Leave Cooper alone. He can't help it because he's dumb. I mean, he just give it to him. I tell you what he'd do. When he left our church, I mean, he left just fruit sitting on every pew. Amen. When he got to Spain, one guy walked up to one of our men over in Spain the other day, and he's a Mexican boy. He went to come out of my church. Got saved right there in our church. He's a Mexican national. Everybody said, "Don't let him come in the country. He's a Mexican national." And they said, "Was your grandfather here in Spain?" "Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He was here in Spain." They said, "You speak good Spanish." He said, "Yes, sir. I've been..." They said, "You can go to any of our schools you want to go to free of charge and take more." And said, "I'll tell you what, we'll give you a TV program over here in Spain." Already gave him a radio program. He's on every day. Just preaching the gospel. About 3 million people there. You said, "There's nothing to do." Stop all your confusion. There'd be something to do. Go after them souls. That's what the church sent you to do. Go get them. Go get them. Let's pray. You want to go on? Or you want to go back home? You need to make up your mind. You need to make up your mind. Just go on or go home. I believe God would just even bless a man if he just said, "Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe I missed you. I don't know. But I'm sick and tired of all of it." I preach this message, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people here. And I believe God. I tried to preach it all this week. I scribbled some things down, Finally, threw the message away, looked at it again tonight, and put a few things down, and God delivered my soul here tonight. I pray that God would speak to you to go on with God. Let us go on unto perfection. Father, you speak, and bless the man of God that's to follow. May thy will be done. May some folks here tonight decide to go on with God. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, Father.